Blog Talk Radio. Hello, 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 wonderful people of God. I thank God for another day of his mercies that are new every morning. I thank God for each and every one of you that are currently listening to us or that will be listening to the archives of Let's Talk with Smile 3 and Minister Sheila Kaiser and myself. We are so grateful to God that you took time out of your busy schedules to hear what thus say the Lord, and we're grateful that God would love us enough and choose us and call us and allow us to, you know, speak to his people. It's such an awesome, and a whole bunch of other awesome privilege. So we're going to start off with Minister Sheila sharing with you whatever the Lord has given her, praying for us and making announcements at the end and all of that good stuff. And if there's still time, I'll come back and pray with you and share a little bit of the series about what are you sowing versus what you're expecting. Minister Sheila.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Just want to say thank you, God, and assign Christ, Lord Jesus, for another day. And thank you for your mercy, your love, your blessings to bless us all to be here another day. It was not promised to us, but Lord, yes, I thank you. I just want to give honor to God, who is the head of my life, who have led me into another day, who have gave us another day of blessing to live and to enjoy and to learn more of the Father and the Son. Lord, I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you. I just want to say thank you. I can't thank you enough. Forgive me for pausing this morning, but it's just the grace of God that I have another day. I woke up in pain, but yet it has gone away. But yet I thank you, Lord, because I know I could have not woke up. But yet I could have been in so much unbearable pain that I know it would be still lasting. But Lord, I know with your love and your mercy, it would all come to an end. And Lord, I give honor to you, the head of my life, for blessing us all for another day. I thank you for Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, Prophet Antoine Thomas, Pastor Troy Thomas, Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright, Minister Brandon Kaiser, Dr. Serena Wright. Thank you for my sisters, my brothers, my daughters, my sons, my granddaughters, my grandsons, my nieces, nephews, uncles, aunts. Lord, I bless you for my whole entire bloodline family and also my spiritual family. Because, Lord, I know if it wasn't for you, we would not be. I have a scripture here. I would just like to read a few verses. It's from Psalms 59, 1 through, I say 6. It says, deliver me from my enemies, O God. Be my fortress against those who are attacking me. Deliver me from evildoers and save me from those who are after my blood. See how they lie and wait for me. Fierce men conspire against me for no offense of sin of mine. Lord, I have done no wrong, yet they are ready to attack me. Rise to help me. Look at my plain. You, Lord God Almighty, and you are the God of Israel, rose yourself to punish all the nations, show no mercy of wicked, treacherous traitors. I just want to say, Lord, I thank you for each day that we wake up. The enemy is attacking. No matter what it is, they cannot stand to see us blessed of the day that you have brought for us. And just to say, I read Psalms 59, verse 1 through 5. But Lord, yet we need your blessing, because the wickedness is born among us every day. 24/7, some can say 48/99. Each second of the day, Lord, we are being attacked by these demon devils, these hateful crime people, these hateful people, these people that just don't want to do right, to see life your way, to honor the love and the beautifulness and the health, the wealth, the life that you have blessed and can bless us all with, Lord, that they choose to fight among you and your people. Lord, we need your blessing. We need you to wake up this government, to take them from these wicked, evil, ugly ways, to let them know you're not here for some people, you are here for every people, for all people, for every person on this earth, on the United States, that you have been elected to office to serve us all in the right way. Not just your selfish ways, your honorary ways, your ugly ways. Lord, we need you to bless them to do it the right way, God, your way. And to honor this life that you have given us, but yet they choose to dishonor us. Lord, we need this police force, this law enforcement to understand, no matter what your race is, your color, your sex, your gender, we are all one. We was brought on this earth to live and to love and to join for each other, but yet for the longest, Lord, they have been against the minority, which is a powerful minority of you. Lord, we know we can make major steps. You can hold us up, Lord, but we need to all keep and to understand, keep your faith, keep your love, keep your belief up under the Father and the Son to bless us, to let us know, no matter what the devil attacks, that you can bring us up out of it. No matter what the devil attacks, you can protect us from it. No matter what the devil's attacked us with, you can surround us with your blessings and your mercy and your protection. Because no matter what your mistake is, your problem is, your wrong for doing is, God can help you through this. No matter what your health is, he can bring you through it. No matter what your finance is, he can show you the way. Just to understand, whatever your problems and your mistakes are, the devil will use it time and time again against you. When you forever doubt God, the Father, and the Son, the devil chooses it as a win. Whenever he can put a doubt in your mind, your heart, or your soul against God, the devil chooses to put that in as a win. But Lord, we need you to help us to understand that you are the one and the only one. Lord, we need you to guide us, to protect us in our homes, in our churches, in our schools, on our workplace, to help us to get along with coworkers that choose to believe that they can always do right no matter what you're doing. They can try to set you up, to prove you, to defile you, to make it all wrong, to make mistakes and put it on you. But Lord, we need to trust and believe no matter what one of the devil might send to us to do against us, that God, you can make it against them. Lord, we need you to bless us all and to keep us, no matter what it is, to bless our church members, our school members, our co-workers, our family members. Lord, we just need you to bless us and show us the way, to let us know, no matter what it is, you are the answer. You are the only answer. God, no matter what it is, for us to remember to thank you, for you are the one that blessed us with another day. So many might have been here a few minutes ago, last night, yesterday, but it's not here today. But Lord, I ask you to bless their families, to let them know you can show them the way of life. You lose a loved one, but Lord, you can teach us and show us the way. You can help us through our sadness, our sorrow, our unhappiness, our problems. Lord, you can bring us through it, but we just need to have the faith and the understanding to come to you, talk to you, let you lead us through this, and to keep the devil behind us, not in front of us, to keep the devil up underneath your feet, not on top, to let us know that you can make it all right. We just have to believe and to understand and to trust and to wait on you, God. You have waited on us, and it's no more than right for us to wait on you. And I thank you, and I thank you, and God, I thank you for the Father that gave his Son so that we might have life. Thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you. Amen. Back to you, Apostle Elect, Dr. Cecilia Kaiser.
Amen, and amen, and amen again. I thank God for Minister Sheila. I thank God for Minister Sylvia. I thank God for Prophet Antoine. I thank God for Dr. Serena Wright. I thank God for Pastor Troy. I thank God for all of my cousins and relatives, especially those that are in the lineage and the generation that I'm in. I am the youngest of all of them. And I was just thinking the other day how my cousin Deborah is the youngest of my Uncle George, you know, just thinking of those on my mom and dad's side and just going through and thinking about, and when I say that, you know, we know that people have other things and stuff, and people would, someone would, might come and say, oh, no, that person isn't the youngest and all of that. And I'll put it this way, based off of the knowledge that I have, I am the youngest, and Deborah is the youngest, and so on and so on. And so there's many that were in that same lineage as us that are no longer here. And so, therefore, we can sometimes think because we're the youngest, we will be here the longest, and that's not always the case, but we pray that the Lord allows us to have the time on this earth and in this earth that he's allotted and purposed for us. And so we have myself, Minister Sheila, and Minister Sylvia have older sisters that are, you know, like in their 70s and stuff like that, and I was thinking about my cousins and stuff that are that age and older, and I was thinking about something. Some of you may say that this isn't Christ-like, what I'm about to say, and I'll say pray for me. One of my cousins had said something to another cousin about, oh, don't tell me you're pulling a cougar, and I thought about something my sister, Minister Sylvia, said. She said she's not a cougar, she's a mountain lion. And then I thought to myself, I said, oh, my goodness. I said, so which is the most dangerous, the cougar or the mountain lion? And then I tell you how the mind just goes there sometimes. And then I also thought about, I said, and with all of that being said, God, it sounds like to me that men have midlife crisis in their 40s and 50s, but women are having midlife crisis in their 60s to 80s. I said, my. Whatever it is, don't let me have anything without the Lord, no matter what age I am. And whether it's a cougar experience or a mountain lion experience, let it be God, because I know people get caught up on age. And so although Abraham was with Sarah and they were up in age, sometimes people think that it's the end of life when you make it to a certain age. When I was blessed, I was speaking with my son and his wife, and they were talking about her grandmother, who's in her 80s, that is getting ready, engaged to get married, and how It seemed like some people thought, well, she needs to, you know, just sit down and I guess live her life, enjoy it, and get ready to die. That's basically what it sounded like. And I thought about how Shirley Caesar didn't get married until she was in her latter years. Not saying that I want to get married or anything like that. That's not where I'm going. So let me go ahead and stamp that and kick that out the door right now. No, I was just, like I said, one of my relatives that said that to another relative, and it made me think about that because all I could think of is that the stereotypes of life sometimes sow in various thoughts and various opinions and various ways in life. And so it ties into the message of what are you sowing and what are you expecting to grow, because so many people are sowing love. They're sowing respect, and they're sowing and showing relationships that merit them receiving back love and companionship. And so many people are sowing in lust, and they're sowing in fornication, and they're sowing in various sexual perversions, and they're expecting to get something holy out of it. But honestly, Proverbs 30 and Proverbs 31 and so many of the Proverbs scriptures teach us to sow in love and to do it in a holy way. So if we're expecting to find a godly relationship and a godly man or woman, you know, a man looking for a woman and a woman looking for a godly man, then we need to sow in the things in a relationship that will give us that which is holy. So if you're out there and you're doing all manner of evil, thinking that you're going to get goodness out of it, you won't get goodness out of it. However, yes, the blood of Jesus redeemed us, and by his stripes we're already healed, and God loves us unconditionally. But we have to do things God's way. And so if you want that godly man that's going to take care of you and do right by you, you know, I've seen some people in relationships where the man or woman or both are just great providers and nurturers and things of that sort, but they're missing Jesus. They're missing the love of Jesus that could cause them to have a three-strand cord. So for those of us that are godly women, that are Christian women, let's sow that which is good, the word of God. Let's sow generosity. Let's show and sow love, God's kind of love, not lust, not what our body wants. See, our body, if we don't starve it for the things of the world, that's all the things that we will crave and that we will sow. If you want to receive things of God, you have to sow the things of God. If you want to receive something that is going to bless you in the city and bless you in the field, what are you sowing and what are you expecting to receive? And so many times, many of us think we have to help God out, but God doesn't need our help. He knows what's best for us. And that's a Selah moment right there. Just pause and think about it, that God knows what's best for us better than we do. And now that we have that Selah moment, think about the verse that says, I need thee, oh Lord, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. So if we're sowing that we need God, God knows what we need and he knows what we want. The word of God tells us that we have not because we ask not. Men, if you want a godly wife and you want a wife, ask God for it. Women, if you want a godly husband and a great provider and a good communicator, and a man that's going to pray with you and for you and encourage you, ask God for it. be careful not to just ask God for a good provider, because I know some good providers out there that are meaner than a rattlesnake. I know some good providers out there that'll cheat on you at the drop of a dime. I know some good providers out there in a financial realm. And if you're going to ask God for a good provider, give them the whole story of what you want them to provide, not just finances, but you want them to provide you with security. You want them to provide you with a covering. You want them to provide you with love, unconditional love. You want them to provide you with being a gentleman, where they open up the door for you and close the door, and they carry the groceries for you, the chivalry, that man that'll take you on this cruise, and that'll cater to you, but also be the man. He knows how to be in charge, but at the same time, he knows how to not only earn your respect, but give you respect. And he knows how to help you to be the empowered woman of the house. And at the same time, he can be the empowered leader of the house. There's nothing wrong with submitting to a man that's a God kind of man. See, we want to make sure that the man is a true blessing to us. So when we say provider, let's not just be talking about financially, because it is great for him to be able to financially provide for us to where we want and need for nothing. I mean, they just cater to us. But let's not just settle for that, because there's, like I said, some good providers out there that will smack you from, anyway, that's a whole other message in itself. So when you're sowing, sow in prayer and don't take it back out of the ground. When you're asking God for that godly husband, for that godly provider, don't keep trying to help him out by using your earthly ways, your carnality. But wait on God. They that wait on the Lord. See, the enemy, we already know, he wants us to believe that we owe this and we have the right to do that. Romans 13:8-10 says, owe no man nothing. You can't owe him anything, but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. But then the scriptures go on to say, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery. See, this is not just Old Testament. People talk about, oh, well, that's the Ten Commandments. No, this is in Romans. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And even when you cheat on God by having relationships with someone that's not your husband, that's a whole other message too. But it's still adultery, it's spiritual adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, all are briefly comprehended in saying this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Minister Sheila was praying earlier and talking about how people would lie on you and bear false witness against you. It's right here. It says, thou shalt not bear false witness. That's lying on one another. The scripture goes on to say, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. See, love will cause you to crack jokes and love on one another. My sister, Minister Sheila, her children were on social media laughing about how she can iron creases into jeans and pants and different things, shirts, and those creases would be there. I mean, they would stay there. They would be there. You can wash the clothes who knows how many times. And she is gifted with putting creases in clothes. So in love, they were joking around about it. And so then I came in, you know, because I'm always talking about how if you have a cake and you want to feed 5,000, you have my sister Sheila cut that cake. And so we were talking about her in that way that she knew it was love. So I'm not talking about that. That wasn't bearing false witness. That was actually laughing and enjoying the talents, the very talents of Minister Sheila. It's a talent to be able to spread a cake the way that she can spread it. I mean, some of us cut a cake and we're lucky if 10, 20 people get a slice. But she's gifted in that area. You have clothes that you might need to be creased and like I say, standing at attention. She's gifted in that area. And so there are small things like that that family can laugh and enjoy one another, just laughing about stuff like that. But then when we get to putting our mouths on one another about other things, whether we're lying on one another or talking ill of one another, that is not what we're supposed to be sowing. We're supposed to be sowing laughter, for laughter is a medicine, according to the Word of God. So, yes, sometimes we will be saying something about one another, but when it's done in love, you're sowing love. You're sowing laughter. I'm not talking about when you're laughing because you're talking negative about someone or you're finding blame in someone. I'm talking about what we did on this week where we laughed about. That's a gift. You know, and I said it and I meant it. As a family, we need to open up a couple of businesses. We have people that can cook. We have people that can bake. We have people that can do various type of cleaners things like we talked about with Minister Sheila. And those creases, we have where we can have a business where whether we need her to cut the cornbread or whether we need her to cut the cake, we will be able to make more profit off of a cake that she cuts than one that I would cut because my slices would be too large. And then we have Minister Brandon and Minister Monty and Minister Vaughn and all of these great men of God that can cook. I mean, my. We have Minister Sylvia who, when it comes to making potato salad, when it comes to making things like string bean casserole and stuff like that, stuff that other people make, other people are looking at them like, who made this? It's a shame. People get upset when you go to family events or different things and you say who made stuff. It's okay. If your gift is bringing the soda, bring the soda. If your gift is bringing the ice, bring the ice. If your gift is bringing the utensils, bring the utensils. Whatever you're gifted in, that's what you do. You don't go and try to make the sweet potatoes when you don't put enough sugar in it. That's a whole nother message, too. So we actually, when we have our events with our families and stuff, we're sitting around and laughing and talking and playing cards and things of that sort. Let me tell you how funny our family is. We were at Thanksgiving. One of our relatives was there, and she said she knew how to play cards. And maybe she did, and maybe she didn't. Maybe she forgot. But see, back in the day, Minister Sheila knows this is the truth. And everybody that knows my family knows this. When we would play cards, I was the one that was my father's partner. I didn't choose to be his partner because I didn't really care who my partner was. But because my dad took cards seriously, and boy, oh boy, oh boy, the things that would come out of his mouth when you messed up. Unfortunately or fortunately, I was the one that was gifted with being able to take that type of verbal abuse because that's what it was. I mean, because he was like my niece Pinky when it comes to disturbing her when the Bears or the Bulls was playing. That's a whole other message, too. And so I said that because we were playing this time, and one of our cousins was playing with her niece, and the young lady kept reneging, which means she wouldn't play the right suit. If you play a hard, you're supposed to play a hard, et cetera, if you have it in your hand. And so she was cutting and doing various things, and she kept messing up. And so her aunt wasn't getting mad with her, but she wanted to win. So in this particular case, she wasn't able to win because her partner was playing like she didn't know how to play. So then my sister, Minister Sylvia, who's very funny, we always joke around and say, you either like her or you don't. She said to our cousin, who's, like I said, was playing with her niece, she says, now don't you pull a you-know-what, the person's name. So basically when you renege now or play the wrong card, it's not when you play the wrong card, it's when you do that person's name. So now that's what we call reneging. We call reneging our cousin's name. And so then our cousin, you know, did the neck. I don't know if you all know what that is. Well, she twisted her neck and told her, my sister, basically, she know what she doing, blah, blah, blah. And so we all laughed because she actually did renege. And so all my cousin could do, because I've never seen my cousin renege in cars. She's a very good car player. All she could do, she was so embarrassed, she just put her head down and she laughed. And I brought that up to say that my cousin was sitting right there who we were laughing about reneging, and she wasn't offended. And the reason that she wasn't, because we were doing it in love, and we were doing it as a place of laughter and enjoying one another. Now, see, that could have been done in another, a negative way. But because we did it in such a loving way, that now even my cousin knows that if we're playing cards and we say, don't pull a so-and-so, she wouldn't get offended because it's a loving thing. And so we have to be careful that what we're sowing is in love. It's not being done to be unjust. It's not being done to hold back that which is due to another person. It's not being done in order to be selfish or self-righteous. But sometimes what we're sowing can be deemed as self-righteousness. Sometimes what we're sowing can be seen or deemed as being unfair. And sometimes you have to realize that even though it's not, you sometimes still have to do it or still not do it. So therefore, if I'm teaching and preaching on living holy and not fornicating, if I'm teaching and I'm preaching on not lying but to tell the truth, if I'm teaching and I'm preaching on walking in love, even when the Word of God reminds us to bless those that curse you, yeah, they curse you, but God said to bless them. To do good to those that hate you, yeah, they hate you, but God said to do good. To pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you, yes, you still got to pray for them. See, those are the things that the world would teach you not to do. It'll tell you if somebody hating on you, you hate on them. It'll tell you if somebody's not treating you right, then you don't treat them right. It's there teaching you, you reap what you sow. Well, in God's teaching and in God's word and in God's love, we do that which is Christ-like. If they hate you, you do good. You love them. If they walk all over you, you don't let them walk all over you, but you still do right by them. So, yes, sometimes there's people on your job, as Minister Sheila prayed earlier, that are going to be treating you wrong and doing you wrong. You don't sow that back. You don't sow of the flesh. You sow of the spirit. The Word of God says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit, spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, but if we live after the flesh, if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby ye cry, Abba, Father. See, let me just go ahead and read a few more of these scriptures. And just so that you'll know where I'm coming from Romans 8. Okay, verse 13 goes on to say, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to death, to fear. Let me read that again. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are, not might be, but we are the children of God. For if children, then heirs, if heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Isn't that awesome? So are we sowing into Christ-like qualities? Or are we sowing into our flesh? Are we sowing patience so that we can reap patience? Are we sowing intercession so that we can pray for one another and others will pray God-given prayers for us? Are we sowing into the will of God and into the love of God? Are we sowing according to the purpose and destiny of God in and upon our lives? Are we sowing that we're going to walk and walk in living epistles of God? Are we sowing by blessing one another, encouraging one another, and being honest with one another? Are you telling people, we talk about so much, they have on something and you tell them they look beautiful in it, knowing that they look jacked up? It's a way to tell them. You may not say you look jacked up, but you may say that I think this other outfit over here would accentuate you a lot more. It really pulls out the beauty and the glory of your skin color. You know, there's ways to tell people why something else would look better without being negative. But what is it that you're sowing? What is it that you think you're going to get back? Luke 6 and 38 says, give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Guess what? I love my sisters. Yes, I do. Growing up, we had this saying, and we're still like this today. no matter what I say about my sister, good, bad, indifferent, if I'm upset, and whether they're upset with me, they don't give you the right to do. Don't put your mouth on my siblings. I don't care if I said they were A, B, and C, and it was in the wrong way. Don't you say they're A, B, and C, because the reality of it is I need deliverance, because I need to be sowing in love to my siblings. For love, charity, and all that begins in Jerusalem. So sometimes, even when we're upset with one another, we'll say stuff. Oh, yes, we do. We might say it to that person. We might say it to a daughter, a niece, another sibling, a spouse, a so-called friend. But don't you do it. My sisters have a lot of friends that they call sisters that have grown up with them as sisters. People that are part of their sisterhood, dealing with their motorcycles and things of that sort. And I have some that are battle buddies, people that have went to actual war. Yes, there's neighborhood wars, but I'm talking about the people that went to the United States military wars with me that are like sisters to me, because we've been through some life-saving events together. And yet I may get just as upset with you about saying something about one of them as I do if you were to say something about Minister Sheila or Minister Sylvia. And you may say, well, I heard you say, I don't care what you heard me say. I heard them say, I don't care what you heard them say. Pray for us. Pray for us that we would come together like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, like the perfect Trinity, and that we would learn to love each other the same way God loves Jesus and God loves His Holy Spirit and the saints. So I said that because, see, God is even teaching us how to sow love into one another. Love doesn't mean you're not honest with one another, though. So let's get that straight. Love does not mean that you don't go and apologize. Let's get that straight. I, on numerous occasions, have to apologize to Minister Sylvia and Minister Sheila. I, on numerous times, needed to apologize to cousins, nieces, and nephews, and my son, and people of that sort. But guess what? When I'm doing that, don't you go digging up, as they say, skeletons, and digging up and opening up the doors of closets so that you can keep up mess. So what are you sowing and what are you expecting? Because you may go trying to dig up that ditch and dig up those skeletons and open up that closet, and what you find out is that we've given each other grace and that we've given each other mercy. And you're still rehearsing what you thought Minister Sheila was upset with me about, or I was upset with her about, or Minister Sylvia, and we then already moved on to grace. We then already moved on to mercy. For God teaches us, for if we want to be forgiven, we must forgive. God teaches us if we want mercy, we need to give mercy. God teaches us that if we want love, we've got to give love. God teaches us if we want assurance, we have to give assurance. God teaches us if we want hope, we've got to show hope. So as siblings in the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are learning how to be Christ-like daily. None of us are perfect. Because if we were, we'd already be in glory, and there is none perfect but one. And his name is Jesus. So what are you sowing, and what are you expecting? Give you a caution again. If you're sowing of the flesh, and you're expecting to reap of the Spirit, it can't happen. We must sow the Word of God. We must sow the love of God. We must sow the peace of God that surpasses all understanding and joy unspeakable. And watch God. Watch God water, plant, and harvest a hundredfold season, more than enough. So much so that the blessings of the Lord will chase after us and they will overtake us. Let's sow love so that we can reap love. That's all I have on today. I love you. And before I turn it over to Minister Sheila for her to give our announcements, I want to pray for her. Father God, we glorify you and we magnify you. We thank you for obliterating and annihilating every atom, every little inch, every little fiber of pain or discomfort in Minister Sheila's body, from her head to her toe, from the inside out. We thank you that by Jesus' stripes she's already healed. We thank you that she's blessed in the city and blessed in the field. We thank you that she's the head and not the tail, and above and not beneath. We thank you, God, that she loves you with her whole heart, every fiber of her total being. We thank you, God, that she's resisting to the devil and he has to flee, as she's submitting to you, God. Thank you for her submission to you and her yielding to you, God. Thank you, God, that she's praying without ceasing, for she remembers that the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. We thank you, God, that you've given us favor on our job. Favor on the left, favor on the right, favor in the front, favor in the back, favor on top, favor on the bottom. God, we thank you that you released favor and that even more. We thank you, God, that not only are you releasing favor, God, but you're releasing promotion, not only promotions in the spirit realm, but in the natural. In the name of Jesus, do it for your glory, God. We thank you that your angels are encamped all around her, that many may fall at her left hand or her right hand, but it won't come nigh her. We thank you, God, that you are covering her with your wings and feathers of protection. We thank you, God, that you are her refuge and her fortress. We thank you, God, that she loves you and loves you even the more. We thank you, God, that she's sowing in love, that she's sowing in peace that surpasses all understanding, that she's sowing in joy unspeakable, and that she's doing it for your glory. We thank you, God, that she's not only obeying you in ministry when we're on the conference line and when we're on blog talk, but God, she's sowing in your love every day of the week, every minute, every millisecond, every nanosecond, God, and that she realizes that time is just something that we're bound to. But God, you're not bound by time, for you're omnipresent, you're omnipotent, and you're all-knowing. Thank you for covering her. Thank you for protecting her. And thank you for blessing wherever her feet trod. And everyone that comes into her presence, God, not only are they blessed, but they're loving on you even the more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Minister Sheila.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Apostle Elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, for that prayer. I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you, and it is so true. For every day that I am blessed to have life, I thank God. I wake up in the middle of the night, I thank God, because I know it's only because of the Father and the Son. Not only am I, you, our family members, friends, co-workers, neighbors, even the ones we don't know, we are only here through the grace of God our Father and the Son, Christ Lord Jesus. I just want to thank each and every person, thing, human that God has gave life to today. For another day, I'm going to thank God for you. Whether I know you or not, I'm still going to thank God for you, that he blessed each and every living thing that he gave breath to, life to today, for another day. Just want to say thank you, thank you, and thank you. And I want to ask, is there anyone that might have something else, something they might want to say, thank the Lord for today. You have the time now. All right, I want to give honor again to God, because yet each day, yet I know through my life, trials and tribulations, ups and downs, sickness, health, that I am a blessing of his, because I know so many times I could not have been here. He did not have to bless me. He did not have to bless you, but I thank him for all that he has done for every living thing on this earth that he chose to say another day. I want to thank you and ask you all to listen to us each and every Sunday morning for Let's Talk at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, where Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser and myself, Minister Sheila Kaiser, and on Monday nights, which is also on Blog Talk, and some nights on Facebook, with Iron Sharpened Iron with Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright, myself, Minister Sheila Kaiser, and Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser and Minister Brandon Kaiser, at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And on Friday nights, which is my Facebook and Blog Talk, with Let's Talk with Minister Sylvia Kaiser at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I just want to say be blessed and with the knowledge and ask to be blessed more with the understanding and the love that God has for us, that we live his way, which is the only way, which is the right way, which is the peaceful way, which is the best way. You understand, no matter what you're going through, he can see you through, he can take you through it, you can show you how to go through it, you can have a better life with the love of the Lord and God, our Father, and tell the devil to take all his tricks and his conniving moves and his mischieving tricks for ways that he can make you think it's his way is the better way. But Lord, when he is through with you, you're just in damnation as he is. So let's stay at the penthouse, not in the cellar, because God has the best way for your life. I just want to say that spiritual scripture, seek ye first the kingdom in God. Kingdom of God, and all things shall come unto you. So until next time, I say be blessed and never, never forget. The alarm clock did not wake you. Your wife, husband, children did not wake you up this morning, because no matter what the noise was or who it was or what it was, if it wasn't for the Father and the Son, you would have not known nothing of that to awaken you. Have a blessed and beautiful day. And remember, God has you, but you need to have God in your life. Amen.